Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Coming up on TMS, not beefing or queefing.
Grimace, the purple psychic chicken nugget.
Weekend at Birdie's.
Hillbilly beatboxing.
How do you do, fellow birds?
Heefin' and meefin'.
Sentient milkshake.
Not made of cats.
Well, stitch my lift.
Ronald McDonald's side chick.
It'll be 1 week till I hit Vegas.
He's a dumb fat purple raisin.
Hey, Internet, can we stop talking about this?
It's a Japanese goth girl cafe.
Gazing into the past with Bill.
With the Flock, with Bobby, and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I've got this song that I holler to. It goes like this.
I sure did a very good job baking these brownies.
The Morning Stream. If God was a villain, he would have been me.
Hey, y'all, what's going on? Welcome back to TMS. It is The Morning Stream for Tuesday, April 18th, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett.
Oh, hello, Scott. Hello. I can't believe you start us off with some, what is that called? It's called, like, Kiefen?
Oh, so is that a thing?
Kiefen or Meefen or, yeah, that, like, there's a.
I've never even heard of that before, the Meefen part.
Oh, my God, let me see if I can find.
Is that a whole, like, this a whole genre, like a thing?
It's a whole genre of, like, Appalachian singing-along music, and
holy
I'm trying
shit.
To figure out. Oh my God! If I can find it, there's like a.
I'm interested in this. I want to know more of Heathen.
Yeah, but I wish I could remember actually what it's called. I'm not looking like right now. I'm looking in here. So if somebody in the chat room figures out what that style of music is called,
Heathen. I've never heard of it, but it sounds It sounds like the right word for what I heard. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I like this first part where she says this.
I've got this song that I holler to.
A
song that I holler to. Isn't that, that's so accurate. Yeah.
I mean, you're Brian, okay, you love your hillbilly culture. So I figured this would be something you'd appreciate.
Yeah. I'm working on getting you. Let's see here if I can find it. Oh my God. All right. Cause this, so the, is this it right here? Please tell me.
What do you got?
Yes. Okay.
What do you got?
All right, I'm giving you something. Giving it to you right now.
Give
X
it to me.
Give it to you.
Give it to me. X gonna
get this. I would believe this is gonna be copyright free. I believe this is something that it is okay to play on the show.
Okay, let's give it a shot.
Yeah.
Is it coming to Discord where are you sending?
So
this?
So in the past, I've played an auto-tuned version of "With a Little Help from My Friends" by Ringo Starr and the Beatles.
Sure.
That is intentionally out of tune because it plays on the whole "what would you think if I sang out of tune" da da da.
Oh, that whole thing. And, sure,
that whole thing. And that's by a bunch of guys called the Evolution Control Committee. These guys, they find audio, they find weird music and stuff like that, and they play it, and it's just freaking awesome, and they turn it into like songs I'm doing a bad job of selling them, but they are really, really good.
I don't know. One You've sold me already. I don't know what the hell I'm even getting into, and I'm in. So.
One of the tracks that they did is this thing called Hillbilly Beatboxing, where I think it's called Eefing, or anyway, this talks about it, or this explains how you do it.
Okay, so let's play a bit of it. Here we go. Let me, I'll turn down the rest of this so we don't have to hear it. Here we go.
You start out with the letter E. Mm-hmm. You say E. Mm-hmm. I say E, and then you go. And then you kind of gasp. You put the three together, E, like that. And then you do I.
When you interview, you can't handle
it. E, I'll do it real slow.
Okay, what does it say about me that I love this? What does it say?
It says that you're human because there is no reason you shouldn't love
this.
Yeah,
how can you not love this? That is absolutely fantastic.
Isn't that awesome?
It's so good. Yeah. I haven't even heard of this. And that's beefing. Sorry, what'd you call it?
Eefing? I think, yeah, it's not beefing or queefing, but I think it's called eefing.
All right.
I want to say it's called eefing, and I thought they used the name in the title. That's what made it really hard for me to find it. But
that's really great, dude. Stuff right there. Really like that. Is there more of that? Can I get more of this queefing?
Not more of the eefing, but there's lots more of the Evolution Control Committee, and it's all fantastic.
Well,
Barbara Streisand wasn't theirs. There was another thing they did that, besides the what would you think if I sang auto-tune, there was another thing they did that was also more popular, and I can't remember what it was, but I'll look for it and see if I can find it. But
the what would you think, is that the song? No, something else.
Yeah, the what? Well, you mean the what would you think if I sang auto-tune?
Different song. I was thinking I'd give that one to you,
but I know that one actually would get
flagged
by YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if this one will or not, but we'll find out. Probably not, but maybe.
Yeah.
I've been surprised before. And they usually assure me, say.
There's a tiny little bit of the Sanford and Son theme in there. Yeah, so who knows? Quincy Jones might be coming after us. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. Back that truck up. I didn't know Quincy Jones made the theme for that. I didn't know that.
It's called The Street Beater, I believe, is the name of the song.
I love that song. It's so good.
Quincy Jones.
Oh, man. Did not know that. Okay, well, more information than I needed to know today. I got it. It's in my head now, and I'm going to tell the world. Yes.
Somebody in my lift the other day. Can I share a little bit of other information?
Only if I can do this right here.
Be courteous and obey traffic regulations.
All right, so we were talking about, so people often when they get in my car, they comment about my Stitch. I have a Stitch bobblehead that sits in the front of my car.
Stitch like Disney, right? Stitch, for those wondering.
Disney Stitch, yeah. Leland Stitch, like this fella right here.
Yeah, a little smaller.
Like about 1,000 that I have scattered all around my office here.
You are really a Stitch super fan.
I do love Stitch.
Yeah. Are you excited about a live action remake of Stitch, or does that bug you?
No, I'm fine with it. Okay. I think they've done really well with the live action versions of their stuff. So
that's definitely coming. So I'm excited for Brian's review. All right, back to your story. You're in the car.
So so he gets in the car and he says, "Oh man, I love your Stitch bobblehead." And I said, "Oh yeah, thanks. Yeah, he's we're just about done for the day." So he's got a nice big smile on his face, even though he always has that same smile on his face. And the guy says, "Oh yeah," and I said, as opposed to the grimace that he usually has on his face. And he says, "Oh, Grimace. Funny you bring up Grimace. I love Grimace." I'm like, "Oh, the McDonald's dude." Like, yeah, he said, and I say, so he even says, my friends and I did a whole deep dive on Grimace back in the day. We would actually say, what would Grimace do? Because we thought it was such a dumb, he's such a dumb, fat, purple, raisin looking. We don't even know what he is.
We don't know what he is.
What is he?
He's not a chicken nugget. He's not any of the food items. I always assume shakes or something, right? I didn't know, but I always assume shakes. So we'll see.
Now. Yeah. According to the McDonald's wiki at mcdonalds.fandom.com, I'm going to read you the first paragraph. Two sentences of the definition of Grimace. All right?
Grimace
some
definition.
Of this will surprise you.
Okay. Hold, sit still, everyone. This is going to be big. Go.
Yes. Grimace is a character featured in McDonaldland commercials. He is Ronald McDonald's most bestest friend and psychic. He is a large purple chicken nugget being of indeterminate species with short arms and legs. He is from the planet Kare.
Okay, hold on. Did you say psychic or sidekick?
That's exactly psychic. And when he read that to me, because he pulled this up on his phone too, and he said, he said psychic. I said, oh yeah, he's, well, of course he's McDonald, Ronald McDonald's sidekick. And he says, no, this says psychic. So Grimace lore, unless this McDonald's wiki was done via dictation and it's a dictation error, Grimace is a psychic and he's a purple chicken nugget.
So hold on. So when Ronald needs some future predicting, he goes to his psychic Grimace, the purple chicken nugget, and says, Grimace, tell me of the future. And Grimace says, I foresee, we're going to do Monopoly again one day in the stores. Okay, thanks, Grimace. You've been a great psychic. That's the relationship?
That's the relationship. Now, I'm going to backtrack a little bit because I've read a little bit further in this thing.
Okay.
And paragraph 2. Prior to ascending to deity status and becoming Destroyer of Worlds, Grimace had a successful career as a capital finance executive, primarily working in mergers and acquisitions for Fortune 100 companies, Chuck E. Cheese and Kim Jong-il.
Okay. Did someone's account get hacked on who fills out the wiki? Because that's insane.
Apparently so. I mean, it is a wiki, so you can, you know, it can be filled out by anybody, but...
Sure. Let's see. Does Grimace have any different kind of... how does Wikipedia describe Grimace?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Let's find out.
Is he psychic on the Wikipedia? By the way, Frank Welker. Looks like Frank Welker did the voice of Grimace.
Really?
If this is to be, you know, it looks like the actual Grimace stuff is down below all of this other stuff.
I'm required to play this.
No more Optimus Prime.
Whenever his name comes up, I have to play that.
Let's
see here.
So. Grimace character, a McDonald Land. All right, here we go.
Hamburglar Grimace.
Voiced by Lenny Weinrib, Frank Welker, and sometimes Larry Moran from 86 to 2003. So absolutely Frank Welker.
Yeah. Oh, he had four arms in the beginning. Did you know that?
Yeah, he was evil for stealing milkshakes. Like, in the 15-minute drive where I took this guy, he pulled up photos of like, yeah, have you ever seen the evil original Grimace? I'm like, no, he was evil at the beginning. He's like, oh yeah, he had four arms, he'd steal milkshakes, and his eyes were like Gritty, the mascot.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
This entry says he's from a species of Grimaces, and he has an uncle named Uncle O'Grimacy, who promoted the Shamrock Shakes.
Oh, of course. Of course. Was he green? Was that other Grimace green?
Doesn't show a photo of it.
O'Grimacy?
That's got to be, right? He's not linked here.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly.
Like, why would you even do it? But, oh, there he is. Uncle O'Grimacy, performer at Robert Towers. I can't find a picture, though. Damn it. Well, anyway, this is wild.
Wow. This is wild. He was often referred to in his first commercial appearances as the crafty old Hamburglar. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm reading Hamburglar. I went one paragraph too high. I forgot I was like reading and then I looked away and came back.
So he's a theft evil and a Grimace, felon.
Stealing milkshakes and cokes. Reintroduced to 72 as a protagonist where he only has one set of arms.
Oh, that was the difference? You see, he was a robber, horrible thief, and then he lost two arms, and he was like, that's fine, I'll be good now.
Exactly. Yeah. A McDonald's spokesperson has said that Grimace is a taste bud, but a 2014 tweet from McDonald's Twitter account stated that Grimace says, Laura says he's the embodiment of a milkshake.
Okay, so that's my understanding was milkshake somehow. That's what I always thought.
That he is an actual milkshake.
Yeah, he's the embodiment.
He's a...
Yeah, and instead of having like a cup walking around...
A sentient milkshake.
Yeah, it's like the guts of a milkshake. That was my... When I was a kid, I think someone somewhere told me that. But I still, to this day, he's a big purple weirdo. Like, it's weird.
He is a big purple weirdo. And I'm bummed now. I'm really bummed that he's not psychic. I wish that the McDonald's fan wiki was true because you're getting very hungry for a Big Mac.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's a pretty good grimace, actually. You did a good job there.
Thank you. I've never actually done a grimace before, but...
had a little bit of a...
You know, me and Frank Welker.
A little bit of a Barney the Dinosaur vibe to it as well.
Well, so does Grimace. Thank you very much.
I was going to say, they're cut from the same purple cloth, I think, those two.
That is my fat purple impersonation. It's applicable to Grimace,
yep.
Barney, and Dom DeLuise.
That's right. Who was very purple in the end. By the end.
Sadly, very purple.
Very purple. Mayor McCheese, by the way, this is a fun little side note.
Yeah.
I love the Mayor McCheese.
Sure.
He was voiced. So they had there was an episode of Clerks, the animated series, which got canceled way too soon.
Which was so good. It was really good. Running Batman joke. Oh,
it was legit good. It was fantastic.
It was. Yeah.
Anyway, he was voiced by Al Franken.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Says the Mayor McCheese.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? They had an episode called Nothing Can Kill the Grimace. And, they had Mayor McCheese in there, played by Al Franken, future senator at the time. I guess he wasn't in the Senate yet, but he would be. And then he would do something that was fondling. Not fondling. What was it?
He put his hands in front like he was going to do some fondling, but the person was asleep and it was
One gets the impression, though, that he may be bowed out too quickly compared to all those around him who also do worse things. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you mean, what do you mean by bowed out? Like, he opted himself out of that stuff and just...
No, he quit. So he quits the Senate based on... He literally retires from his position as a senator from the great state of Massachusetts in light of that. And I remember going, well, that's probably good if that was the standard, meaning if everybody held themselves to that level, I would respect it. But nobody does. Nobody.
Yeah.
They do way worse shit than that. They
double down. They say, it was, locker room talk, or it was,
I hate that.
Hearsay. She was describing something, blah, blah, blah.
I'll bet he, Commonwealth, not state. Sorry. I know that he probably, he probably has some regret. I bet he feels like he may have jumped too soon because that was right before things got weird. And I don't know. He probably could have hung around. I can tell you this. I didn't think he was very funny as the stand-in host for The Daily Show for his week or whatever.
Boy, split on that one. I didn't see any of it, so I can't offer anything. But when you hear people talking about the comedy, The Daily Show stand-in replacements, his... People either loved him or hated him. There's very few in between.
Didn't work for me at all. I thought the best one was what's the guy's name? I can't think of names today. It's just one of those days where I don't know names.
Today is different.
Just today. Days. No other days I do this. It's just one of those one of those days. I can't think of his name, but I love him. Anyway, let's move on. We got a phone call to play from Kevin in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
All right. Holy cow. So Kevin, the originator of I Don't Like Bees.
Yeah. He's the I Don't Like Bees guy. Let's see. Yeah. Do I have that handy? I should, because that would be good to have.
I don't like bees.
All right. So famously, Kevin from Ann Arbor, Michigan, right? One of our favorite sound clips of all time. He hasn't written in a long time or done anything. And I just thought, he's fallen off. He's gone somewhere else. He's busy, whatever. I just didn't know the fate of Kevin in Ann Arbor.
And we didn't even know if he was still listening, any of that stuff.
No, none of it. But now I get this call, and it's fantastic. And it deals with us and him, and it's just great. I'm just going to play it. Here's a minute, 1 minute call from Kevin in Ann Arbor. Finally, back to the rest of us.
Hey, Morning Stream. Kevin from Ann Arbor here. I don't call a lot anymore and pester you as much as I used to, but I was just listening to an episode from a couple days ago, and Brian was talking about waking up at 4 and not being able to fall back asleep, and then Scott was talking about dreading having to pee in the middle of the night because that's what sets off the old brain, and so you pee as many times as you can before you go to bed. I'm 32. You guys are like a lot older than that. And the fact that I can relate so well to both of you does not encourage me, give me a lot of encouragement for the next 20, 30 years of my life. So I'm already having the same problems as you now. So I appreciate it because misery loves company, but I'm also like, great. I'll be doing the same shit when I'm 50. Anyways, I love the show, though. I also don't like peeing in the middle of the night. Bye.
Isn't that great? So
fantastic.
And Brian's right. Don't be adding years to that. That's like 18
years. Yeah, like 20, 30 years. No, hold on.
Yeah. Slow that 30 down there, buddy. What do you think? We're 70 by now or whatever we're supposed to be? Anyway, that was great. And we don't like these long periods of time where Kevin doesn't write in or call in. So, Kevin, feel free whenever you've had a thought. I think you're one of our, you're one of the all-stars. So, please send those in. We love
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Hey, very well done.
You're an all-star.
Hey, now. He's an all-star. Hey, check this out. Andrew from, this is Asher77 in the chat, sent us a text that I thought would be good because I didn't know this. Maybe you knew this, but let's read it. Hi, S&B. In regards to the 112 game on Wednesday's Battle Royale, so this was a couple of weeks ago. 112 or 112 is the international recognized emergency number and will divert to the country your emergency is in. In my case, 000 in Australia. Keep up the great work, Andrew. So if you call, if you do the 112 and you're here in Salt Lake City or in Denver, that will route to a 911.
That's what he's claiming. And I obviously we can't try it. I don't want to try it. It does kind of worry me that 000, because I mean, the reason I thought that they did 911 is because it makes it harder for a little kid who was at the time would be playing on a touch tone phone to accidentally press those numbers. But 000, like, again, back in the day, now not such a big deal when you've got send and, you know, phones to unlock with Face ID and all that stuff. But 000 seems very easy. So does 999, you know, which is, I think, UK is 999, right?
Yeah, that's, yes, I think so. Aren't they 999 or 99?
I think they're 999, yeah.
Something like that. So
Or they were at one point.
Yeah, to me, it's sensible to separate your numbers so little kids aren't accidentally calling it, because there's absolutely a greater than 80% chance that Van could accidentally call 112.
For sure.
Or 000, obviously. And not 911. 911, you got to go 9, and then you got to go way up here, and you got to hit the 1-1. In fact, if I were them, I would have done like 919 or something, just to keep them jumping around the pad, you know? So they're not actually hitting the thing.
Right, but you also don't want to make it too difficult for the person who, you know, again, movie trope, is crawling their way towards the phone, and they knock the phone off the receiver off the hook, and then they reach up to the touch tone and go, beep.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right.
Boop.
Yeah.
Must press last one.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
But the thing that does surprise me more than anything else is that, yeah, if you type 112, or if you type, presumably works all like the in reverse, right? If you do 911 in Australia, does it automatically route to 000?
Oh, great. I mean, that could work. Technologically, it's not hard, but I don't know. I wonder.
Yeah.
I wonder if, and if that's the case, why don't we all just settle on one, you know? Right.
If everything works, then let's just settle on one so that,
let's do the one that makes the most sense, kind of like days and weeks and hours and all the stuff we all agree on. We should agree on that.
That's kind of that's a very good point.
Here's what Wikipedia says about it.
Let's see if I can find 112 it. Is a part of the GSM standard. And all GSM-compatible telephone handsets are able to dial 112 even when locked or, in some countries, with no SIM card present. It is also the common emergency number in nearly all member states of the European Union, as well as several other countries of Europe and the world.
All right. So, basically what we said.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. Hey. I guess I'm going to remember that so that, you know... Oh, yeah, it is. It confirms here. 999 in the United Kingdom. Hong Kong is 000, so is Australia.
Okay.
Wow. That seems crazy.
That does seem crazy.
But then again, let's say, Brian, you're under extreme duress. You've got your phone up. Let me pull up my keypad.
Or my hands are tied behind my back, right? And I've got to unlock it with my, like, I have to pull off my shoes and my socks and operate my phone with my feet.
Yeah. Then you can do, then the 000 makes sense because you can kind of pinpoint that. Mm-hmm. Whereas 911, you're okay. I think I'm on the 9. Beep. Okay, now where am I? Beep. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Okay, now I'm starting to swing. Yeah.
I would assume that unless I've got a gag on my mouth or something, I could probably just say, "Hey, Schmeary. Call 911 or whatever.
Yeah. Old Schmeary getting her work done.
Schmeary. I think that it didn't trigger mine, so that obviously I can say Schmeary.
No, it completely worked. I loved it. Okay, let us now. We got to do some news. It's important. The people need to hear what's going on in the world.
Yes.
We can't leave them in the wings. So here you go. Oh, look at that. It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by.
Brought to you by waiting for what seems like an eternity for Kickstarter to approve your submission.
Yeah, I submitted it and it's taken forever. We thought it'd be Monday. Then we thought today. It's still not approved. Now I'm starting to think it's going to be Vegas before I can even see the damn thing.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Which would suck.
Although, how fun would that be? Like, have it approved while we're in Vegas. And then at the live show, you can say, all right, everybody who wants to buy this, who's here, jump on there, buy it now and see if that goes.
Oh, that'd be a fun little bump. Yeah, that'd be all right.
Would be, yeah.
We'll see. I don't know. I don't know how things are going to go. Yeah. Hopefully today, but if not, it'll come around. But thanks a lot, Kickstarter, for taking your sweet effing time. Okay?
Yeah, I imagine that time has gotten longer and longer. I remember the Andrew Allen stuff. We were probably waiting 2 days once we were ready to get it approved, 2 days before it actually got approved. But I imagine the number of people doing Kickstarter now versus then is probably 10 times the amount.
Is there a future album from Andrew that might come one day?
Might, maybe.
Yeah.
We've always, like, every time we talk, we talk about the idea of doing another one, and we both love the idea of him just doing a straight up pop song cover album.
Oh.
But it'd be jazzy versions of, like, Wannabe by the Spice Girls and Chop Suey and, you know, and Enter Sandman and stuff like that.
That would be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, sign me up for album art. I'll so do it again.
You know, we yeah, absolutely. You're on the, you know, you're on speed dial for it.
Speed dial for album art. I'm ready. I love that idea. All right. Yep. Here's some story about Walmart. You're familiar with their cup of soup or cup soup offerings.
I'm familiar with their curbside cup noodle maple egg sausage monstrosity delivery service.
Yeah, they do. It's a hell of a thing. They bring it right out.
We actually went and saw Tristan yesterday at his Walmart.
So. Oh, nice. And how is his Walmart compared to other Walmarts? Just give me a taste.
It's just, I mean, it's...
They're all a little sad. Is that what you're saying?
They're all a little sad, yeah. It's... at least this one in this area. I mean, somebody got beheaded behind his Walmart.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, while he's working there, was he there at the time?
It was overnight, but people came back to, you know, the openers showed up to Walmart to find somebody beheaded behind the store.
Oh,
that's the kind of you know, the kind of Walmart.
Wow, that says it all right there. Yeah, that answered my question. Yeah. And then some. Holy,
I mean, he's had people do meth in the bathrooms and come out dancing during as soon as they've closed and turn on the house music for the cleaning crew. Some guy comes out of the bathrooms and dancing. like he's, you know, one of the snakes being coaxed out of Ireland or something.
That's wild, man.
Yeah.
Beheadings and meth heads. That's actually a lot.
This is not a bad part of town. Mm. You know, it's a relatively good part of town, but
it's a bad part of Walmart for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
That's rough, man. All right. Well, hopefully anyway, he never has Walmart. To find a head in the back of a dumpster. Let's do this one. Walmart removes a T-shirt after customers spot a hidden vulgar word. All right. So they did a little sleuthing there and they found this problem. Walmart's in doing some damage control after inadvertently selling a T-shirt with a hidden vulgar word. The T-shirt has an artistically designed motto reading recycle, reuse, renew, rethink. And the RE is capitalized with the other words stacked on top of each other. Common thing to do in typography. People do it all the time. When only reading the letters from left to right, a person can see the intended message of the shirt. However, if you read it vertically, one of the words spells out something rather offensive. I'm going to show the shirt. Let me pull up the shirt.
I kind of love this, actually. If it was intentional, it has to be intentional, right? Because recycle, reuse, renew is pretty common.
Mm-hmm.
But the rethink is not a common fourth word in the recycling group.
No.
But it is, yeah, for listeners who have not figured it out, see you next Tuesday is basically the
Yeah.
The vertical first letter of the words made up when you take R-E off of them.
Yeah, it's...
And they're beautifully stacked in a nice Futura bold.
There's no way they didn't know, dude.
They had to know, yeah.
They had to know. Somebody's a chucklehead down at... I don't know where these are made. Somewhere awful with, like, child labor and stuff. And the, whoever designed it's like, tee-hee-hee, it's my last week. Tee-hee-hee, and then did this. There's no way. There's no way that was an accident.
But, no, I think... I think it is hilarious. It's just, is it somebody who doesn't, you know, who believes that recycling is too woke? I'll show them. I'll put a dirty word in a thing.
Exactly. I don't know. That could have been the upset employee. Who knows? But the green t-shirt has now been pulled. It was available.
It's only $5. I would have bought one for sure.
I know. Look at that price. And that's Canadian bucks.
Oh, is that the Canadian Walmart?
Yeah, which means I think it would have been about $3 for us, that the way that their exchange is right now. But anyway, let's see. The merchandise was available at the Canadian stores, was quickly scrapped. The shirt was sold at Walmart Canada locations, has been removed, company said, according to a statement to some Fox Television news outlet. It says the image of the t-shirt continues to circulate online, did not stop comments from flooding on social media. Yeah, that's how that works.
Yeah. That's
people social media talk. Works. Yeah, you don't just stop. You don't go, we're done because they pulled it.
Oh, they don't like this. Please, can we all stop talking about it now? Because they're not a fan.
What were they thinking? For real?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
So somebody gets beheaded in a Westminster Walmart. In Canada, the equivalent is somebody bumps you in the shoulders, they walk by, and they don't say sorry.
That's really the equivalent. Dark.
That's a Canadian Walmart.
Yeah, that's a dark, dark Walmart. Don't go there.
That's the Walmart, the wrong side of town.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, this is a cool story. I don't know, for some reason I thought of Bill because he is both a maker and a bird lover.
Mm-hmm.
I could have saved this for him, but anyway. Dead birds get a new life. In New Mexico, we have researchers who are developing taxidermy bird drones. Oh. And this is real, by the way. This is a Reuters story, not some like Onion thing. I had to double check because I was a little unsure.
Right. Yeah. But look at this. Reuters.
Look at this bird, you guys. There's a photo there. Scientists in New Mexico are giving dead birds a new life with an unconventional approach to wildlife research. A team at the New Mexico Institute of Mining and Technology in Sirocco. Socorro, rather, I think is how you say it, is taking birds that have been preserved through taxidermy and converting them into drones in order to study flight. So they're studying the flight of birds or flight in general. Dr. Mostafa Salamander, a mechanical engineering professor who's leading the project, has found that artificial mechanical birds had not given the results he was looking for. We came up with this idea that we can use dead birds and make them into a drone. Everything is there. We do reverse engineering. That's the idea. Taxidermy bird drones currently being tested a purpose-built cage at the university can be used to understand better the information and flight patterns of flocks. So the birds of a feather and all that. That in turn can be applied to the aviation industry, he says. If we learn how these birds manage energy between themselves, we can apply that to the future of aviation and its industry to save more energy and save more fuel, he says.
Okay. This I didn't read far enough to enjoy. So they can be used to understand the formation and flight patterns of flocks. So they think that they're going to fly this drone with this dead-faced bird among all of its friends. Among all the other birds, and the birds are going to be like, oh, cool. There's Frank. Yeah. All right. Let's keep going.
Yeah. Frank, you look a little tired, but I guess you're fine. Don't worry about it.
Let's do the V pattern. Let's do the V formation. Already. Okay. 1, 2, 3, V.
It does assume, it assumes a lot about the birds not recognizing this strange thing, right?
Sound. Right. The sound, the look. I mean, Frank sure sounds, mechanical.
I like this Frank the Bird. This is a good name for it. It's good. It's a solid choice.
This is what this guy, this bird drone looks like, a Frank.
It does look like a Frank. The poor thing. I mean, before you freak out, animal rights people, these are already dead birds. Okay.
Sure. They're not killing birds to put drones in them.
No, they're not even. Yeah. All they're doing is taking taxidermied birds, already taxidermied.
Yeah.
And then they're adding all this drone parts to make it fly.
I imagine they're doing it simultaneously. You're going to taxidermy and drone the bird at the same time, right?
Or it doesn't actually say, but it might be that I assume you could take an old one and retrofit it, but. And this one,
I see what you're saying. Birds that have been preserved through taxidermy. Because usually taxidermists who do birds do, you know, if they take a seagull, it's just going to be a seagull standing there on its legs looking majestically off into the distance as opposed to a bird in flight, which you then, if you bought that, you would have to suspend from the ceiling.
Right. That's the rule.
It's the rule.
Better yet, suspend it from your ceiling fan so it moves around the room.
So it just flies around in a circle.
Yeah, hell yeah. That's pretty cool. Well, it sounds like they're not getting the results they wanted, and I'm going to go ahead and be the first to say, I think the birds are smarter than you think they are.
Yeah, I think once you fly that drone into a flock of birds, my guess is those other birds are going to scatter, even though it kind of looks like one of their own.
Yeah, they're going to get the F out of there. Anyway, strange things going on down there in New Mexico. Not just blue meth. There's more to it. Check this out. Yeah. A video shows a drunk man falling from a 19th floor. That seems like a lot. It seems like he'd die.
That is a lot. Yes.
But it turns out being drunk sometimes softens the blow. He literally stood up unfazed and sang all the way to the hospital to make sure he was
okay. Holy crap. I don't even think I want to see this video because it feels like... Does he land on an awning, like a hotel awning in front of a doorman?
Like
because
a cartoon.
I know that happens in movies. Speaking of movie tropes, it's just movie trope day, right?
Yeah, it feels like movie trope. Oh, here he is. So let's see what this looks like, guys.
Oh,
we're going to take a tiny look here.
Look at this damn video, Scott.
So here he is.
This is going to freak me out.
I know. I don't like the feeling. Like, it's going to make my groin hurt. Oh, that was him? Jeez Louise. He dropped like a bullet. Okay, then he gets up.
Uh-huh.
And continued singing all the way to the hospital. There,
he did land on a car, just like a trope,
like a movie. Like, and look at him getting off. He's just like, good.
Like the naked girl at the beginning of Lethal Weapon, right onto a car.
Yeah, they did say he has a concussion and a compressed fracture of the spine, so he's gonna have to do some stuff. But he got up and moved around. So all I'm saying is, maybe all the drunks are right. Maybe they were right all along. Be drunk.
Yeah, maybe.
Be drunk, get less hurt. You know, is that the deal? I don't know.
It is the thing. Like they say that, babies in car accidents are fine because they don't tense up. It's when you tense up in an accident that you're prone to more physical harm.
Yeah.
But if you flop around, then you're going to be fine.
I wonder if there's a way, and that's also probably why a lot of drunk driving accidents, the driver walks away fine.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which is bad, obviously. I wasn't going to say, I don't think I have the capability, mentally or otherwise, to relax when I know a wreck is incoming.
No, I don't either. It's like, okay, oh my God, that semi's heading right towards us and I can't, the car is stalled. Go limp.
Yeah, I don't have that ability. It would be awesome if I did, because I could use it for all kinds of stuff. Like, I'm sure there are people who have mastered their domain to the point that they can do that sort of thing under stress. I don't know who you are or how you did it, but send your tips to themorningstream@gmail.com.
That is a one in a million kind of landing on that car too, right? Like, if he's a little bit further forward and he's got like the windshield kind of bracing and being more of a non-collapsible thing to hit. Or the back or the trunk or missing the car entirely.
Yeah.
He's out. He's gone. He's done.
Yeah, it's no good. We have a mutual friend who told us a story about watching a live accident happen on the road.
Oh, God.
That sounded awful, by the way, first of all.
Yeah.
And then you had to drive the Westbury home. Like, I don't even know how you deal with that. But
and his description, hearing his description made the visual, I'm sure, as horrible as the actual experience.
Oh, I can't even imagine. Just like, I mean, I've seen a few accidents. None of them have been fatal. The ones I've seen, like physically witnessed somebody cutting over or missing a light or whatever. I've seen those.
Yeah.
But no one's ever died in front of me like that. That would be rough. I don't think I could do it.
Nope.
Meanwhile, I could, I can go into Grand Theft Auto and shoot 500 ladies. It's fine. Whatever. But I can separate that.
And nobody could do a damn thing about it.
You can't stop me. You can't stop me.
That's all you're going to get. Don't worry, folks. That's the extent of Brian's. That's all you're going
to get. Yeah, Brian's frump impression is best you're going to get. We're not even going to say his name. How about that?
Ronald Frump.
Claire yells coward. Yeah, whatever. It's the right thing to do, Claire. All right. final story, unless, yeah, this might be our final story. That's literally our final story. Okay. A Japanese cafe waitress. We call them servers now, right? That's the deal. We don't.
Sure, but I mean, it depends on the cafe, because the we went to like a cafe in Shibuya, and it's very different than what you would call a cafe in America.
Oh, tell me.
Like they're dressed as maids, and you call them over like maids and stuff like that, and they sing while they bring cat looking cakes to you and stuff like that.
Cat looking cake, like a shape like a cat.
Like a cat's face. It's like a cake that's got ears and whiskers.
No
and stuff
actual
like that.
Cats were harmed in the making of the cake.
No actual, they're not made of cats.
Oh,
yes,
thank the Lord.
So the Japanese cafe, it needs a little asterisk and define what kind of cafe. Mm. Yes, a maid cafe. That's exactly what gets it.
Okay. So that's like a subgenre of cafes in Japan.
It is a sub genre.
Shub genre of cafes. Yes. You ever lose your cat cafe?
I'm hungry. Let's go to Shubway.
You ever lose your cat cake?
Your cat cake? So check this out. Japanese cafe waitress fired for mixing her own blood in the cocktails. This is not a cultural thing of cafes, okay? Don't be putting your own blood in anybody's food. Waitress from Japanese cafe in Hokkaido, Japan, I thought it was Hokkaido, the name of the place, was fired for mixing her own blood in the cocktails she served. The cafe in Sapporo announced the news on Twitter. Why does everyone announce everything on Twitter? Why? Why are we doing that? We all do it, but why? Why are we doing it?
We all do it, yeah.
This is the problem. This is why billionaires are weird. It's because we just keep doing it.
You want us to go somewhere else? Give us that name. Give us that name, Scott. You want us to go somewhere else? Give us that name.
Give us that name, damn it. Saying that
you
we
can't
have
handle the other social media networks.
It says they have fired the unidentified woman who made customers drinks. It's called Orikaku, which means original cocktail, mixed with fruits, colorful syrups, and her own blood. Yeah. Such an act is no different from part-time terrorism, job terrorism, and is absolutely not acceptable, says the cafe. Well, I agree with them. Mm-hmm. Adding the business was shut down for a day to replace all of its drinking glasses. They weren't even comfortable enough just to wash them. They had to replace them.
I think
I'd be okay if they just washed them. It's fine. You don't need
I'd be okay with it, too, but it is, it's like, I mean, it's like the Al Franken thing. It's like, you know what? Let's just get rid of all these glasses. Let's eliminate all the, you know, let's take a further stand than maybe we need to, just to say to show that we're serious about this and we're taking a stand.
That's true, especially if you're a regular there and you're like, I don't want to ever go here again. There's blood.
I don't want blood in my cocktail. My orakaku.
I don't know what this is. Oh, the owner tweeted this. Please let me continue the store a little longer so I can be happy alone. These are bad translations.
Yeah.
I'll clean the store, change glasses, and dispose of alcohol that may have been contaminated. Once again, I am very sorry to have caused you trouble this time, the owner tweeted. It advertises itself as a space where dark girls and problem children, who are also the cutest, serve customers.
That feels like it should not be the last line of the article.
No.
It feels like that... No.
It's not good.
We need further explanation about the dark girls and problem, the cutest dark girls and problem children.
Yeah, I'm sure it's like they got a theme where it's they're naughty or something. I don't know. I don't know what you're doing over there. You got your fetish restaurant. It's fine.
I mean, I guess it feels like you hired dark girls and problem children to serve. You're going to get blood in your otakaku.
Yeah, and by dark girls, I assume they mean like, you know, emo... depressing
women with dark thoughts dark actions
or in Claire's case, like she says, a naughty pale girl,
right? Yes.
Yeah, that sounds about right. You are pale.
And she's not, she's, you know, she's, we're gonna normal. Find out
she's like us. She's just one of us whiteys, you know.
Right, exactly.
You're fine, don't you worry about it. You know, the whitest person I know right now is Phoebe, the baby. She is like, I mean, like this stuff, like this right here. Hold on, and I'm not exaggerating. She is roughly this color of this stormtrooper head.
Wow,
Wow. Which is a little yellow, unfortunately. But
is that a 3D print? Oh, no, that's a...
No, that's the one I bought somewhere. I think it's a bank, isn't it? Let's see. Oh, no, it's not a penny bank.
But there's no hole.
It has a hole, but I think that's maybe just the make the... Well, let's see. Mm-hmm. Lucasfilm, made in China. Yeah, yeah. I guess...
Aren't you a little holeless for a stormtrooper? Even like let's see the front of it again.
Is here you go. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd think that...
I think it's for painting. I think you're supposed to buy this and then paint a style on it or a design.
Yeah, you should. You should use the Frog Pants colors.
We should do it.
The Frog Pants logo colors and make a orange and...
I'm like you. With you and your Stitch, that's how I am with Stormtrooper stuff. I will buy any Stormtrooper thing I can get my hands on. I got a child-sized one right there behind me. Mm-hmm. I got like 15 over there that aren't in view.
There's another shorter one next to the child-sized one.
The Luke Skywalker sized one.
Right, the Luke Skywalker sized one. Yeah. It's
Boba Fett's between his legs. Oh, this guy.
I'm talking about that guy, the Scout Trooper. Good, I could not remember Scouts.
Scout Trooper, Chewie, and then Warcraft Duratan guy back there. Nice. Because we're nerds here on TMS. We're nerds.
We collect shit. It is in our contract.
I'll tell you what, there's somebody who collects way more shit than we do, and we're going to talk to him after this break. That's Bill Duran. He'll be coming up, as well as A Little Science with Bob. We also have a call to play for Bill, which we'll get to in a minute. All that and more, but Brian's got to present this song you worked so hard on. So what do you got there?
Oh, man, I'm finally ready to debut it. I've been working so hard on putting this song together. Mm. And it sounds a lot like another song by a UK psychedelic band called Temples that has just released last week their brand new album called Exotico. This is the brand new song, the brand new single from this album. It's called Oval Stones. They are going to be starting a North American tour in June with support from a band called Post Animal. Here is the British band Temples and Oval Stones.
Out of here. Showbiz Pizza Place with over 60 electronic games. Pizza baked fresh every day. And the stage show extravaganza on three stages.
Vomit fruit. It's got its name because it smells like dirty socks.
Here's your meatball. This is the Morning Stream.
All right, we're back, everybody. Welcome back to the program. Please tell me who that was one more time, please.
That is the band Temples. They'll be coming to the Urban Lounge in Salt Lake City in June and the Bluebird Theater the day before in Denver, Colorado. That is their brand new song, Oval Stones.
Aren't you a huge, correct me if I'm wrong, you're a big Pixies fan, right? You like the
Pixies? I do like the Pixies, yeah.
They're coming to they're coming here to this little tiny venue we have in Salt Lake. The bands just love it there, but it's small. But they love it because of the way it's like, I forgot the name of it. If Carter was here, she'd tell me, but it's some kind of, it's a cool name. Anyway, and since I don't remember names today, you're not getting the name out of me. But the point is.
is it like all the original members, like Frank Black and or Black Francis and Kim Deal and.
Good question. I don't know.
And those are the only two names I can remember.
Kilby Court. There it is. Thanks, Carter. Kilby Court, it's called. And yes, I think it is the full band, but I'm not. I don't know that for 100% sure. But it's cool. supposed to be a big antis. And there's a whole bunch of cool bands like Japanese Breakfast is coming there.
I love them.
Yeah, a whole bunch of bands that she mentioned these names. I'm like, oh my gosh, I think you're playing Brian's song here. He loves all that crap.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh man, I wonder if they're coming through Denver. And Sean Stretton says Frank Black. Yeah, Black Francis goes under the name Frank Black as well. So he did outside of the Pixies. He called himself Frank Black, released three albums, but Black Francis when he's a member of the Pixies.
I respect that. Nothing wrong with that. Do what you got to do with your name.
That's right.
Okay, we are going to do some Bill time. And to do that, we got to play this.
There's still something wrong, isn't there, Bill?
There sure is. It's Bill Duran joining us from punishprops.com all the way to our left if you're looking at a map. Hi, Bill. How are you?
Hello. Good morning. I'm great.
Oh, that's so good. You know what? We're great because now you're going to be in Vegas for a bit and we're super stoked about
heck
that.
Yeah. Got my flights. Yeah, got a room.
Happy. You got a room? Happy. Okay, you figured that whole thing out?
I did. It turns out rooms are really cheap.
They are. They really are.
Yeah, they're not bad, especially if you're doing like a midweek thing like we are. It's not bad at all.
Yeah, it was like $40 a night.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Set. It's because the Plaza cares.
The Plaza cares. The biggest thing you got to worry about is if it's like, if the Steelers are playing, or not Steelers, the Raiders are playing, don't go that weekend. That's like $400 a night for everybody. Everybody's prices go up. I freaking hate that. But our midweek plan, perfect.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Bill, real quick, I want to play a call that came in for you. Well, it's technically a transcription, but it's in the form of a call. It'll make sense when I play it. If I can find it. There it is. This is for you. It'll all make sense. Here you go. It's kind of for all of us, but here you go.
Combining things. Hey, Bowl and Spatula and Bill, if you could combine two tools or implements into one to serve a multi-complementary purpose, like a spork, what would they be used for, and what would you call the combined tool? Asking because I recently returned to a friend of mine a pencil affixed to a chisel her husband left at a flooring job site. We had fun trying to imagine the purpose for the item and naming it Penchiz, which sounded a little dirty. LOL. Cheers. LCS.
LCS, thank you for your service there and sending us that message. You probably have some like janked together like combo tools that don't make sense unless you explain to somebody what you were thinking. Right?
I'm trying to think of something like that. I've made plenty of my own tools, but they tend to be single purpose. And in fact, I've found that when you buy tools, the more single-purpose they are, the more useful they are, and the more multi-purpose they are, the less useful they are, or the less good they are at each of those individual things.
Right, right.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, master, jack-of-all-trades, master-of-none, basically, is what it turns into.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
So I can't think of any examples, because I tend to lean towards tools that are highly specific in what they do.
Yeah. Do you guys remember, they were telling us for the longest time that we are never going to have, this is like, think pre, like, Trio, pre any kind of thing that resembled a smartphone. And I remember when we were starting to have things happen, like, oh, the camera's built into a phone, or these other things are built into the phone.
Right.
And people would say, Well, that's going to be dumb. That's like, again, it's the jack of all trades, master of none. They're worried that we are going to have
be as good as a real camera.
Exactly. And now that's it's just not true anymore. Like, they're great at all those things.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, again, you can get your specialized, like your SLR and do some things with actual film that you can't do with something digital.
Sure.
You know, you get zoom enhanced. But still, the best camera. What is the phrase, Bill? The best camera you have is the one that you have with
the
you.
The one that's on you.
Yeah.
It tends to be my phone.
Yeah. It's just an interesting thing to think about. Like, music, it plays music, it plays video. You can, all these things, we all take it for granted now. It's just like nothing to us now. But back in the day, this would have sounded crazy,
Yeah.
Anyway, well, there you go. Bill is a highly specialized tool guy.
Personally, I'd love to combine a 3D printer and a spray paint booth. So that while your print is sitting there cooling on the plate, you can then start spraying it and not getting paint everywhere, and everything will still work.
Yep,
nailed it. Well, what'd you bring today, Bill? I'm sure it's something very cool because we always like hearing from you. What do you got?
So a question for you: do you ever go back and listen to or watch your old work, your old shows or episodes?
Sometimes
go back and listen to them.
Sometimes, very rarely, but it's usually for like I listened to an old film sack recently, and I don't even remember what I was going through old files, I guess, and I saw one and I went, oh, this is that one that supposedly people think is really great that we did, and so I went and listened to it. And it's fun to do sometimes because I really want to hear myself, but it's fun to hear like we're in the process of making it. You don't always know what you're making. It's the same with drawing and stuff for me. You don't really know if it's any good or not until I've had some time, and then I can go back and go, oh, that was actually pretty good. That was a really funny episode. Or I didn't realize how funny that was. I should have promoted that one more. Or, things like that. Mm-hmm. So I will do that occasionally, but very rarely. It's just too much of it.
Yeah, I definitely don't.
You don't listen to like an old Coverville or something? Like a Coverville 2012?
No. And it's not one of those things like, I just hate the sound of my own voice, but it's, it's like, I don't know. Maybe it's just, I don't have time. Right. It's
I don't have
time to listen to it again. Yeah.
I tend not to, although recently we've been trying to watch some of our old stuff, and there's a lot of reasons why not to watch them. We watch all our videos before they get published anyway. The final edit we watch it. Mm-hmm. We sit down and just watch it real time. But also, like, when you're making content, you don't have time to watch content. I barely have time to watch all of my friends' content. In fact, I don't have enough time to watch all my friends' content. And we've made like 700 prop videos. It's just a monster to go through.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's a lot, dude. That's a ton of content, And if I look at my files, I got like 6,000 episodes of things. I'm not going to go back and, do that very often.
I'll tell you what, too, though. There are other forces that keep me from watching my old stuff. So, for example, maybe the video didn't perform as well as I had hoped. Like my Blade Runner Blaster video. I spent like 6 months working on that thing and almost nobody watched the video.
Oh, man.
So that creates this mental block, and I don't want to. I haven't gone back and watched that video. I will at some point, but you get emotionally tied to this stuff.
You do. And when when you work really hard on something and you find out you got like less engagement on the thing you worked on, that's kind of a bad feeling. It's unfortunate because we should just, we talk about it on the show all the time. We should do stuff just because we love doing it. And if you can monetize it, great. But it is kind of disheartening when you do a thing you worked really hard on and then you find out, well, this one got 20 views.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Now, on the flip side, do you have any episodes or videos or anything like that you are particularly proud of that you've gone back to watch?
Well, TMS is a blur, right, Brian? Too much of it. It's just too much.
Yeah.
There's too much for us to go back. I mean, if I did go back and listen to things, it would be things like the Coverville 500, the, the 1,000th episode, 800 was a, one that I did specifically as an episode to introduce new people to the show. So it was like, hey, if you've never heard an episode of Coverville, go listen to Coverville 800 and you'll get the type of show.
Yeah.
Really good example. Exactly. So those would be ones that I'd go back and listen to. Interviews, Howard Jones, Pat Boone, Jeanette Napolitano from Concrete Blonde, name dropping.
Yeah, don't trip over all that. There's a lot of bodies.
I know, but the interviews I had such a great time doing. Those would be ones.
Those are fun too, right? Because you want to, the other, what the other person was saying was like super interesting while you were being the interviewer, and it's still interesting now, regardless of whether that's you or not. So I'll do that with like the Metzen interviews and stuff occasionally. Yeah, I'll listen to those.
For sure.
I will say this. So like I'm trying to think of moments, and one of them was, some of them were kind of dumb. Like we did the hot tub episode Randy and I did way back.
I remember that.
Forgot about that. Yeah.
That's one that sticks out in my head. Live Nerdtacular shows were always, you know, big moments.
I have the photo on my phone from a Live Nerdtacular where Jerry was pouring a bag of chips on my face. One of my favorite moments of all time.
I think I have that too somewhere. It's amazing. There's a great one of Tom Merritt kissing Ibbot's head, which I treasure.
Oh, yeah.
I treasure that one. He made Tom made a face that said to me, he really, really had to like hunker down to make this choice to kiss you on the head. And I don't know. And it's not just you, like anybody, kiss anybody on the head in front of anybody, I think was really hard for him. It's just the look in his eyes of like, and I have video of it or something, or GIF. I don't remember. I have something, but it's amazing. Like those kinds of things, or finding out my yogurt soda was bad on stage.
Oh no.
Yeah. All those.
Not a drop of that touched my lips. I was a little hungover that day.
Lucky man.
You're very lucky. You may have hurled if you had tasted what I tasted.
Yeah. Almost hurled without tasting any of it.
But also there are film sacks in particular that I think fondly of, like someone in the chat room mentioned it, but the Street Fighter episode was one of my favorites. It also birthed one of Brian's greatest quotes of all time when he said shit retiefter, and I never forgot it. It's amazing. There's lots of those sorts of things in that show. So it really just depends on the show and the content.
Yeah.
But I have some weird animation on YouTube that I put up there in like 2006, 2007 that I will go back to sometimes. And I'm always surprised how much I liked it and how much I wish I would have kept doing it. It just was so time consuming. But they were just these cheese ball little flash animations that I turned into video and added my own sound effects and did all this stuff. And I look at it now and I go, man, where's my gumption now? Why don't I make more animation? So yeah, that it serves as that too, right? As like a, hey, you used to do this. Why are you not doing that now? Or why aren't you upping your game to match what you used to do? So to answer your question, yes, occasionally we do.
Sure. Now, like I said, we've been going back and watching some of our old videos. I've watched a lot of our older videos for a while for our patrons. We were filming commentary on some of our shorter, older videos. Over time, they started getting long, and filming commentary for a 45-minute long video takes a while. But things I've noticed while watching some of my older videos, including some of the newer ones, I really enjoy watching them. Turns out I've been making these videos for me. And I think that's a good thing.
I've
been making these videos as something that I would enjoy watching, and I've been consistent about that, and I like that a lot.
Yes.
Sometimes I'll watch a video, and I will have zero memory of filming it. We have filmed over 700 prop videos, and that's not counting all that we did, a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff on our Patreon, another 400 or 500 videos for our patrons. It's just so much to remember, and it's bananas to watch me, I know it's me, doing something and have no memory of it.
Yeah. It's like film sack for us. We do that every time. Have we seen this movie? No.
Maybe. Yeah. All the time.
There's times where we have definitely seen it and nobody thinks we've seen it. Like we're just like, how is that possible to have zero memory of recording that episode? But it happens.
Something I think the biggest thing I've noticed is the videos of mine that I enjoy watching the most are the videos that have friends or Brittany in them. There's something about having me and my friends on screen making each other laugh and building something cool that makes me really happy, and I want to do more of that. Those are the kind of videos I want to make.
Yeah, you don't want sad ones of you in the corner going, "Hey, it's Bill."
No. There aren't any of those. there are some that are awkward for sure.
Do you have any? How about that? Let me ask you this: Do you have a barrier though when you watch your old stuff where you feel like, oh, cringe? I can't believe I said that. Like that's what's hard for me sometimes. Is I'll hear an old, I don't know, ELR episode, and I'll just think, why was anyone listening to this? What the frick was wrong with me? That's how it felt anyway, but.
I feel that way when I present to camera. That's something I've gotten a lot better at. But when I watch the old videos, I'm like, hey, this guy knows what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm actually kind of impressed and surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So other than just being a little awkward in front of the camera, I don't cringe. I actually don't really do much cringing. And if I have to, I could just pretend that weird guy is Rob, my twin brother.
Right. Exactly. Right.
What a weirdo.
Blame it on Rob.
Yeah.
I was going to say,
shouldn't have had him film this video.
You always say you guys never did that stuff when you were younger, but now you can do it for, it's got a practical application. Oh, that video sucked. Yeah. That was Rob. It wasn't me. Yeah. Or that day in class, it was a terrible time during school. That wasn't Rob. That was Bill.
It wasn't me. Mm-hmm. Wasn't me.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Well, that's great. This is good advice. You know, just don't always just throw your stuff. And this is, by the way, art advice. Great advice. Because sometimes
go back and view your old stuff.
When you're done, you're sick of it. You're like, oh, I don't want to ever see this again. And then go check it a year later and you'll be like, oh, it was all right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So anyway. Bill, do you have a little bonusy deal for this?
I do. Dustin over at Smarter Every Day did a video. He's done a couple of videos on the Prince Rupert's drop, this glass drop that you can make that's nearly indestructible. And then they put that glass drop into more molten glass. It's really cool.
Oh, that is cool.
They do. They spend a lot of time at a glass blowing company and show a lot of different glass blowing techniques. So it's a terrific video.
Oh, that sounds great. Oh, I just realized we didn't tell Bill.
Put a link in the YouTube chat.
Did you? Let's see.
I'm not seeing it.
Did the link get either?
We don't have him blocked for linking, do we? We should fix that if we do.
I posted it in the chat then.
There we go. I've got there.
Oh, weird. Yeah, that'll work. Awesome. Smarter Every Day.
Yep.
Which we all should be, you know?
Yes, mm-hmm. That's a good.
I feel like it's a safe thing to say that everybody could use a little bit of Smarter Every Day. You know, look at this guy. What is he doing? Glass stuff scares me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know why. I find it so damn hot because it's so hot. Yeah, that must be it.
Yeah.
Very cool. Go check that out. And of course, punishprops.com and the Punish Props YouTube channel. Bill Duran, it has been nothing short of a pleasure to have you on today.
Yeah, what do you say we go hang out, do this next week in person?
I think we should.
I like that idea.
Let's spend some quality time together next week. Have a good one in the meantime.
Smell you
later. Bye now. All right, my ASP is being a little weird. Hold on a second.
That's what people are saying. Yeah, that there's a little bit of laggy.
Yeah, it appears to be. Here, let me pause this for a second. One second, everyone. All right, we've resumed recording. We're back, and now time for Bobby, if I can remember to add him to the call first. Let's do it right now. Speaking of somebody we're going to meet next week.
Yeah,
bring in the missus, which is pretty cool.
It's going to be nice, yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to meet whoever would marry Bobby, you know? It's going to be exciting stuff. Here's his intro thing.
Science!
Bob is hungry. And the soup looks good.
It sure does. Bob looks good, too. Look at you, Bobby, with your hair pulled back, looking all suave. What's going on, man?
Oh, not a lot.
Yeah, just living
That's
life.
That's a lie. There's been a lot going on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There are a few things going on. Yeah. People are busy. I know you guys got all your secret shit that none of us can know about that keeps you busy. But do you feel ready for next week? Do you feel prepared?
Oh, I'm more than ready. I'm excited even.
Wow.
High level of readiness.
Good.
That's great.
I'm not sure. I was looking for a word. I think excited.
Is there a little anxious in there as well?
It's a little.
Oh, for sure. I'm always anxious whenever, you know, people are involved.
Yeah. When other humans are there. I get it.
Yeah.
But we're the nicest, easiest humans you know, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, to be honest, it's true. I was out to dinner with my wife, who is going to be coming with me.
Yeah.
And she was asking about, you know, we were just chatting about how fun it's going to be. And I was telling her, seriously, the people, the TMS fans are just about the nicest people I've ever met. Mm. So
in your life, in your whole life. No, maybe not. Maybe there's someone like
your mom. That's not even an exaggeration. It is.
It's just the truth. Oh, your camera went all blowed out.
No, oh, there you go. I'm fixing it. Don't worry.
That's okay. All good. All behind the scenes, how the sausage
Logitech G Hub, everyone's favorite camera software.
Yeah, that thing sucks.
Hate that app. Yeah.
It's really bad. I love Logitech. Can't stand that software. Let's get to some science. Bobby hosts a science show, and so when he comes on here, we talk about science. So what's going on? What are we doing?
I'm gonna have. Do you remember I told you how busy I was? I'm gonna have to say that my dog ate my homework. that's the excuse.
Uh-huh. Okay. That I have. So you want to talk about putting drone parts into taxidermy seagulls?
Sure.
I thought that was really funny. I'm with you guys. There's no how are they going to expect? Like if the excuse is that they're trying to study how birds flock, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there is plenty to study there, right? Like understanding what are the signals and behavioral patterns. Like flocking behavior is emergent behavior, and it's all, you know, some sort of algorithm inside the brain of each of those birds that when they get together, they behave in this certain way, right?
Mm-hmm. Worthy of study, for sure. Trying to understand.
It's definitely worthy of study, and it would be cool if you had a bird and you could control things about it. Like, oh, what if we have... What do we have to do to make other birds follow this bird? Or what if we put this bird into the middle of the flock and do this? Will it affect that? You know, you could tease apart what kind of signals change the way that birds flock. But there's no way. I have a drone.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of those those Phantom.
The DJI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when I turn that thing on. You can hear it from across the city.
Right, yeah, there's no...
It sounds like someone is running a weed eater in my ear.
Yeah.
There's no way those birds are going to be like, oh yeah, he's just one of us.
Yeah,
he sounds a little different, but he's definitely a bird like us.
Yeah.
I have an image in my head of like just a crowd of people and then some like, I don't know, some really... really janky like kid like stack of kids in a trench coat walking
kids in a trench coat. It's exactly what it is. Right.
Like, oh, hey, hello, everybody, I'm just a normal guy.
I will take two alcohols, please.
Yeah. You're not wrong. I was looking at some video here. They put some up on the New Scientist YouTube channel, and it flaps. I thought maybe it just hovered and its wings never moved.
Oh no really? Way, really?
Yeah, so it flaps and so maybe we're missing part of this content, which is like it flaps pretty quickly, but I can't tell if it makes sound is the problem. It doesn't show. Yeah. The video is like got music over it, so I can't tell. So my guess is it's a highfalutin idea that just didn't quite hold water. Yeah,
maybe.
Still fun.
I do
to
have. I've got a whole list of. I haven't started my picking what I'm going to talk about on the podcast that's going to publish next week. But I do have one here that I was started reading through that's about... The headline is Science Confirms the Best Kimchi is Made in Traditional Clay Jars. You might find that interesting.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so the best kimchi I ever had was made in a jar and was buried for like 6 months or something. It's the most amazing, smelliest thing I ever ate in my life. Totally stunk.
Well, so but, I read man, through the good. Article real fast, and they said that they think what's causing it is that the clay jars are really porous, and that it allows for the water, a very salty water, because you put a lot of salt in when you're making kimchi. So it's seeping through the clay jars, the porous clay, and also allowing carbon dioxide to escape through the clay. So the general level of carbon dioxide is lower in the jar than, say, a glass or a metal container.
Mm-hmm.
And so they think that maybe what's going on is that the bacteria that makes the kimchi taste good likes, it's lactic acid bacteria, and it likes the a lower carbon dioxide environment. And the other stuff that makes kimchi not taste good is other types of aerobic bacteria. And aerobic bacteria, as I'm sure you guys know, loves carbon dioxide. So with there being less carbon dioxide in there, the bad, unwanted aerobic bacteria, there'd be less of that and more of the salt-loving lactic acid bacteria.
Yeah, that is interesting, right? Because it feels like they wouldn't have known the difference back then when people in ancient times were making early forms of kimchi. They just had clay pots. That's what they had.
They stick them in there, bury it, and done.
Exactly.
And say, this one's a little more porous. I think this one will have a better flavor to it.
Yeah, I always find that interesting because they don't know. They don't have any idea until it's just working and they know it's good and people like it, but they don't know why.
And I like studies like this because there's a lot of people who, especially when it comes to food and especially when it comes to like ancient wisdom, unquote unquote. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are like, oh, people have been doing it for thousands of years, so it must be best. And so that type of thinking often leads to sort of confirmation bias, and people just, you know, oh, it's supposed to be the best, so then of course I'm going to have this biased way of thinking, and then I will convince myself that it tastes better when maybe it doesn't really.
You're just looking for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these people are doing what scientists do and saying, you know what? We should actually look at this and see if it is better. So that's the first thing they did, according to this article, is they just made some batches of kimchi in a traditional clay pot.
Yeah.
And then other ones in other pots. And then they just blind taste tested it. Hmm. And then also measured it to see what kind of bacteria and stuff are in it. And then they looked at under like a microscope, I think they actually use CT scans too, to look at, the microscopic structure of the material and what's going on there and stuff like that.
Again, a thing my brother's, you know, ancient ancestors would not have the wherewithal to do. They just knew it was good.
Yeah, and they couldn't even test it in different things, because that's another thing, you know. So I know that we talk when it comes to construction, the Romans figured out a lot of a lot of things that we still use today, especially with things like concrete. And so a lot of people think like, how did they figure that out? You know, like it's just amazing that they figured it out. And it's not like they just sat down and did a lot of the science that we can do today. And sure, they had the scientific method hadn't even been created then, but they were good thinkers, and they also, a lot of people don't think about the fact that the Roman Empire lasted a real long time.
Had a long time for trial and error.
Exactly, and that's what it is. So they had people whose job, if you made a living building as an architect or some sort of builder, and you built things out of concrete, you had quite an interest in trying to figure out what the best way to make concrete is, and so that's what you did. Mm-hmm. And you tried something, and then you tried something else on a different structure, and then you saw which one lasted longer, and then, you know, you passed that knowledge on to, because all of this was passed on through families, right? All these trades were usually passed on through families.
Right.
Or apprentices, if nothing else. And so you pass that knowledge on to the next person, and the next person tries some different things. But the reason I bring that up is because these clay pots didn't even have that as a benefit, because what's the alternative, right? I don't know when glass was invented, but I don't think they had glass jars, and they certainly wouldn't have. I guess they might have had like bronze.
Yeah, pots. They could have had bronze, possibly.
So maybe they were trying other things.
Maybe.
Yeah, but that would be just trial and error, right? They don't really understand the ins and outs.
Like, oh, this one tastes like a Moscow Mule. Let's not ever have this one again.
Yeah. I assume.
This is all the thought process, by the way, that I would normally go through before
coming on the show.
I would say, when was glass invented? Let me actually look that up. When did they have bronze pots back? Let me see.
This is like seeing how you make your sausage.
That's right. Like exactly. Right, yeah. Right.
So let me ask you this, and I know this seems separate, but to me it's like the same process or the same kind of question. And I'm sure data exists. I just haven't looked it up. But you know that feeling when you're at camp or you're somewhere outside. Food tastes better. You don't know why it does. It just does. If it's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, that peanut butter and jelly sandwich is way better at the park than it ever would be in your kitchen. Except milk. Good point. Milk is bad immediately in outdoors. You're right.
I don't know.
It's exposed to sunlight.
Yeah.
It's like the gremlin.
Well, I don't. If you take milk outside, it's instantly disgusting. I don't know why anyone would drink milk outdoors.
I don't either. It's gross. You're not wrong. But knowing that, there's probably science that tells us. It feels like Mythbusters may have done this even. But why I can have a hot dog at a at an outdoor you know, I don't know, baseball park and have it be amazing and not really that big of a deal. It's like kind of a poopy dog, but it's really good out there for some reason. You eat that same thing at home, you're just kind of bleh. I wonder why that is, you know? Like, what's our deal? Do you think it's like it can't be just pure like placebo? There's got to be more than that. Right. Anyway, that should be an upcoming future thing you do.
They get soaked in a ton of salt at the ballpark. And,
fair point.
And we just don't do that at home. I think there actually is, there might be some actual food science to it. But
Well, I don't know. I think part of the point Scott's making is that even if you make a burger at home, if you eat it in the backyard, there's something really good about that.
Yeah, even if you make it in the house.
And I agree with that, you know.
Yeah. But why, though? See, that's why I want to know is why. Is
it maybe it's because you're outside and you're in tune with your primitive, savage,
your primal, existence that your ancestors.
Fresh air combination. And, who knows?
I don't know either. But it makes me kind of want, you know, those tinfoil things. You heat up a bunch of meat and veggies in a tinfoil ball and you cook it in a fire. That sounds so good right now.
There's, most violent sports happen outdoors. Mm-hmm. Violent murders, most of them happen outdoors too.
That's a really good point. We do all our best and worst work outside. Yeah. I don't know why that is, but there you are. Well, that's cool. I like having a little inside look at how you might come up with something for your next little bit of science. So there's nothing wrong with this. Why don't you explain to us what that show is, where to get it, and what your last episode talked about?
Yeah, well, we our show is called All Around Science. Me and Maura do lots of science discussing. Or is that a word, discussing?
Discussion.
It really isn't. No.
It's not, but I like it.
Well, you know what? We do it.
It's a so Sean Connery word.
Yeah,
it's a Sean Connery word for sure. Yeah.
That's very Connery.
You ever discussed your car?
Yeah.
We talk about science, what's going on in the news, what's just going on in our heads, what we're thinking about, and things that we find interesting in science called All Around Science. Yesterday, the latest episode that just came out, we talked about we're getting a lot of interest on this on social media. People are engaging with this a lot as migraines.
Mm, a lot of people get them.
I've never had a migraine before.
Lucky bastard.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing because my co-host, Maura, gets migraines, and she looked into it, and we talked a lot about the science, what we do know and a lot about what we don't know. And because if you've never had a migraine before, if you've had a migraine, you know this, but if you've never had a migraine before, a migraine is very literally not just a bad headache. Mm. It's something different. Mm. In the brain, what's happening is different.
Yeah.
A headache, you know, is just swelling of blood vessels in your head that causes pain. But a migraine is totally different. And so we talk about that. And it seems that people are really liking this one. So you should check that out. All Around Science.
I can count on one hand how many times I've had them, but every time I have one, worst thing. It's the worst.
Mm-hmm. And lots of migraines are very different. There's a very wide range of experience with migraines. And that's part of what makes it so hard to study and why we don't know a lot about it.
I wish mine wasn't so painful. My sister gets them too. My sister Misha, she gets them really bad. She has to lay in the dark for like 2 hours to get rid of them. I wish they weren't the painful kind, because I have heard of kinds that are like, oh, you just kind of feel euphoric for an hour, or you see bright lights.
Exactly. I've never heard of that before. Exactly, Brian. No, there's some people just have all sorts of symptoms, but pain is not always one of them.
Huh.
Yeah.
Some people get euphoric after a migraine is over.
Mm-hmm.
So you go through all the pain for several hours, and then you wake up and you feel great and you have lots of energy. But you know, and
some of them are just visual. There was a famous, I forgot his name, guy that was on NPR all the time doing brain neurology segments, and he's from a different country. And I can't remember his name because I don't remember names today. But anyway, this guy, he had a version called visual something. Anyway, basically, it was a visual thing. He would hallucinate or he would see things that weren't there. And he knew what it was. He knew it was part of his migraine. But the migraine would happen, no pain, but he would see people and stuff happening that weren't really there.
Wow.
And that's pretty
did they ever
wild.
Come true? Like, were they, you know,
like premonitions? Like
seeing the future or alternate realities?
I don't think so. Probably more like my stupid dreams where none of it makes sense and why would you do it?
Yeah.
But that's fascinating to me. So do check it out, everybody. Big show coming up. That's All Around Science, which you can find
I'll
anywhere.
I'll see you guys in less than a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Las Vegas.
Four, Sunday.
Five days, something like that.
I mean, are you excited beyond control? Because I kind of am. I'm very excited.
I'm having difficulty controlling myself day to day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Same.
Every once in a while, I just start flailing like a mm-hmm. Muppet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
You got to be careful because if you show too low on the Muppet, you see where the hand goes up your butt and you don't want that. You can't have that.
I am not interested in that.
No. Bobby, have a great week. We'll see you next time. I guess we'll see him in Vegas is where we'll see him.
Yeah. We'll see. That'll be the next time.
Yeah.
See you next time.
You know where we see you? The next time will be literally we'll see you in Vegas. How about that?
That's right. We will visually see you.
I found, so a couple quick things. I found, before we go, I found a, let's see if I can find the name. Okay, there we go. I found a thing that it just kind of cheered me up yesterday. I was kind of having a rotten mood day.
Aww.
Don't know why. Mm-hmm. Just didn't. I think there was a storm coming and I react to that crap. It's weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of weird things, somebody named Andrew, I don't have his first name or his last name. I do have his first name. He is somebody who left me a note at Nerdtacular 2017. It was somebody who didn't ever have a chance, and he included your name and a few other host names. He never had a chance to talk with any of us personally, which is something we always tried to do at those events, right? Always try to be available to everyone, whatever. We're not, we're not up on
everyone,
some
everyone all at once.
Yes. Yeah, everyone all at once. And he said he didn't get a chance to do that. He didn't want to bother us and all this sort of stuff. Aww. But then there's just really long, nice letter that just said the nicest things about us, about the network, about the content we make. And I know it was 2017. It's been some time now. I just want that Andrew to know if you're still listening to TMS, which he spoke very highly of in the letter. I just wanted you to know it made my day better yesterday. So thank you for writing that all that time ago. And I'm glad I keep those things. I have a whole stack of that kind of crap.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I have a folder.
And then one other note, a member of our community, Zomniac, is in the chat occasionally, having some gnarly surgery this week. And just a shout out to him. Everybody be thinking about Zomniac. Some of you probably know him.
He bought us breakfast last year at TMS Vegas. Or about some people. I don't know if I was there for the Zomniac breakfast, but...
Yeah, super generous,
some
awesome.
Folks out to breakfast.
Just an awesome dude. And is currently just going through some rotten business. So anyway, I want to wish him nothing but the best during this week because he deserves
it. For sure.
Okay, that's it for us. Don't forget to join us on Patreon. That $2 threat may happen sooner than later. I got to talk to Patreon and figure out how this works. But y'all, if you want to bump it up to that one that happens, great. If you want to stay where you're at, you're grandfathered in, don't worry. But now's the time to get in. If you want to lock in that dollar, head on over to patreon.com/TMS. You'll never get ads. You get pre-show content every day, post-show as well. You'll get couch parties on the weekend, art in the mail, and other great monthly benefits that you can read all about over there. Maybe eventually we unlock the Frog Pants All-Stars. Who knows? Who knows?
Maybe. Someday. Someday will happen.
That's patreon.com/TMS. Let's get out of here. Brian, you got a little song for the end of the show today or what?
I do. I've got a little tribute here. A little sad story. Simon, a.k.a. Conquer87, wrote in and said, "My partner of 11 years passed away last year on April 16th. Her favorite band was Bullet for My Valentine, and it would be great to hear, it would be awesome to hear any cover by or of their work for the year anniversary of her passing." Sad tribute today going out to Simon, but hopefully a song that you like. This is from their 2018 album Gravity. I think this is a bonus track on that deluxe edition of that album. Here's Bullet for My Valentine, their cover of Imagine Dragons, Radioactive.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening and watching. And by the way, as a reminder, if you like watching or would like to be a part of the live watch of the show, that happens Monday through Thursdays right here at frogpants.tv at 9 a.m. Mountain Time, 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern. Sorry, Central, we're not talking about you today.
Okay? Do the math.
Do the frickin' math. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time. I'm waking up to ash and dust.
like what you just heard, there's a very good chance you will like all the shows on the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Let me make this real to you. Bring on the virgins.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.